Since I believe in the year 2000, we have been in a grace period with a number of ministries rising up, preaching grace and the balance of grace and faith. So like Andrew Womack and Joseph Prince, and so forth. These number of ministries who are preaching. Now, I'm not talking about the la-la land of extravagant grace and everything's going to be all right. And you know, that's garbage. Was that too blunt? That's garbage. It's not grace. You are saved by grace through faith. And without faith, grace is useless, is wasted. And without grace, faith has no purpose. Because faith accesses what grace has already provided. They work hand in hand. I use this analogy. Andrew Womack used this analogy once, that sodium is a toxic element. If you eat sodium, it will kill you in large amounts. Chloride is another toxin. If you eat that, it'll kill you. But if you put them together, you got sodium chloride, that's salt, and without it, you'll die. So it's faith and grace. Everybody say, faith and grace.
Faith and grace.
That's the balance in me. Mm-hmm. So today we're talking about the excellence of wisdom. So if you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 before we prepare to do our confession here this morning. You say, confession? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to confess. What are we going to confess this morning? How about the Word of God? You know, the Bible has a couple of verses about confessing our sin. And there's one whole denomination, that's all they do, and they're back every week confessing their sins. But the Bible has a whole lot more to say about the confession of our faith. Yep. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Oh, when you believe what you speak, the devil starts to run. He doesn't want to even be around it. Why? Because when you speak, all of a sudden angels fall all over that thing, and their assignments are to fulfill it. And if any demons are standing away, they don't want to be around. You have more with you than more against you. You got to know the resources. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. You say, this is kind of radical. Like, you know, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, that doesn't mean, you mean I have to do, no, you get to do that. You get to live by every word. Just think of that. When he said that, that licensed you to act on everything he ever said. And it gives to you everything that he promised. Think about that for 2 minutes. Then think of it for 5 minutes, because it'll keep on exploding on you too. When he said that, man shall live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds him, he gave you license and authorization to act on his word and to expect it to come to pass. Yeah. Well, I got turned on by that. I don't know about you. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, but of him, God, of him are you in Christ Jesus. You're no longer in Adam. You are in Christ Jesus. This is a new race. It's the race of being born again. There's only two races, by the way, in this world. There's born-again people and unborn-again people. That's the only two races God recognizes. So, I mean, if you have racial problems, you're in the wrong place. And you're certainly not going to enjoy heaven very much because we're all going to be there. Every race, creed, tongue, everybody. Amen. Oh, of him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I could go about three different ways right here. And Yogi said, if you come to a fork in the road, take it. So, but listen to this. Have you been made righteous with the righteousness of God? Yes, you have. 2 Corinthians 5:21, write it down. Not going to go there. You have been made righteous. In the Old Testament, Abraham was accounted righteous. But in the New Testament, you have been made righteous. God doesn't treat you as pretending something that you're not. No, he made you righteous. Amen. He made you righteous. You have been sanctified. That means set apart for the use of God. That's what sanctification means. You've been set apart. And you have been redeemed. Your spirit has been redeemed. Now, your soul and your body have not yet been redeemed. That's going to happen when either the rapture or when you die. That's when you will get a whole new soul. Your soul will be completely recreated, and your body, you'll have a glorified body. But your spirit has been completely recreated. That means you have the habit of thinking the same way that you used to think before you were born again. That's why it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, get your mind renewed, present your body to God as a living sacrifice, and get your mind renewed with the Word of God. Amen. Then you can walk, then your thoughts will match up inside of you, and you will walk in rightness with your spirit, soul, and body, just like God does. When he sees something, he sees it through the Son's eyes. When he speaks through the Spirit. He's one together, and that's the way God wants us to operate, with a renewed mind and a body that's surrendered to say, yes, I'm yours to command. Isn't that a good word? Thank you, all three of you. Sometimes, you know, you get these things and it gets quiet. This will turn you on. You know, the most excellent spirit, excellent life that ever touched this earth, the most excellent words that were ever spoken and heard by human ear, the most excellent sermon, the most excellent response to life's crises, the most excellent mercy and grace ever displayed in this earth, and at the same time, the most excellent administration of justice delivered to this earth came through one person and one person only. Can you tell me who he is? Jesus. Can you say it louder?
Jesus.
Can you say it more?
Jesus!
Jesus! Jesus. Woo! Glory to God! And that Jesus lives in you. Oh, hey. You want to just start dancing? Yeah. You don't have to turn to these. I'll just rattle them off here. But Proverbs 8:6 says, wisdom says, listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from opening of my lips will come right things. Proverbs 22, verse 20 says, have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge? Isaiah 12, verse 5 says, sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Really? Yeah. His excellent ways have been spoken. Do you know what Napoleon once said? Now, Napoleon was an arrogant, violent, self-absorbed, pompous little emperor. And when it came time to him to be coronated king, he wouldn't let the cardinal or the whoever that was, the highest guy, Catholic guy in France, to do it, because he didn't think anybody was worthy enough to crown him except himself. They have the, up in the Louvre, Lori and I have been there, you can see this huge painting. It's got to be like 40 feet wide and 25 feet high of the coronation that he had commissioned, the coronation of Napoleon where he's crowning himself. Do you know what he said? They asked him, what do you think is one of the greatest events of all human history? And he said, I'll go you further than that. I'll tell you that the most miraculous event in all history is the history of the Jewish people. His excellent ways have been known in all the earth, even inside that pompous, arrogant little mind of his. Good one, Lynn. Proverbs 4, 7 through 9 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get it. Now, would God tell you to get something that you couldn't get? He would be unjust, wouldn't he? So, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Listen to this, exalt her, wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you do embrace her. She shall give to your head an ornament of grace. Ornament. Do you know how much God wants to clothe you with glory, with grace? Give to your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory he shall deliver to you. These are empowerments that Jesus walked in. These are what he considered his rights as a man. You know, he didn't refer to himself as the Son of God. He wasn't here to be the Son of God. He was here to take your place and my place as the Son of Man. The devil tried to get him to do stuff because he was the Son of God. Why? Because that would have made it illegitimate for him to be your sacrifice. Everything that he ever did, he put aside everything that rightfully belonged to him as the Son of God and put it aside and became just like you and me. And when Jesus rose from the dead, you know what happened? There was a man, M-A-N, man, born again, spirit-filled man in the Godhead. And he's just as much God as the Father, and he's just as human, spirit, soul, body, as you and me, except perfect. First Timothy chapter 2, I think it's verse 4, says there's one, or 5, it says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, that is the man, Jesus Christ. He's still a man. A born-again, spirit-filled man. He became death until the hand of God reached down there and said, it's enough! And he raised him from the dead. You getting anything out of this so far? We have that Jesus. That's the Jesus who overcame sin, sickness, demons, and fear, and death, and everything to do with sin and death. He overcame it. And he gave us the law of the Spirit of life to walk in. And we have books in the old Bible. They're called the wisdom books. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. We've had them around for 3,000 years, and they're absolutely pregnant and bursting at the seams with living wisdom. The Word of God. We have the book of Daniel for 2,500 years that has exemplified what it is to walk in wisdom and the wisdom that promotes you, that crowns you with an ornament. Look at it as it says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was with him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm, the whole empire of Babylon. Why? Because Daniel walked in wisdom. What kind of wisdom did he walk in? He walked in the wisdom that says, do the word. Right from the very first chapter, you see it. He wanted to just do the word. If the king said eat this, he said, no, I'll eat what the word says. If the king said do this and it violated his faith, he wouldn't do it.
Yes.
If the president of the United States says do this and it violates your faith, don't do it.
Right. Amen.
You know, we used to live in a free country. The mandates that are coming down now violate your conscience, your faith, and your religious rights, and the U.S. Constitution and the Constitution of Illinois.
Right.
It's violating the whole thing. And yet somehow he thinks that he can do this because of a virus that has really already passed. There's just a few scrapes of it left. I'll get to that in a few minutes. Let's just put your thumb in that for a minute. But what we're seeing here is exactly what it, ever since the beginning of time. These times are really not too different from the times we're experiencing now, where the unrighteous, the wicked, persecute the righteous. Paul made a huge analogy in Galatians chapter 4 when he talked about Ishmael and Isaac as an allegory, saying that, and you can read about this in Galatians 4, and then it says that as it was then is the same now, that the unrighteous are persecuting the righteous. You say, well, Ishmael was the firstborn. Why shouldn't he have gotten inherited? No, he was not. Not the firstborn as far as God recognizes, because the sign of circumcision came after Ishmael, and that's when he was born of that covenant. Without getting too graphic, okay? That was a son of promise, and that's what God recognized. The same way that, and he was a type and shadow, that Jesus is the son of promise. And when Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, that made it legal for God to send his son and sacrifice him into this world. You have no idea the amount of authority the covenant gives you in this earth. And we have a covenant that is so far above and excellent than Abraham's covenant. Oh, is this working for you? Is this excellent? Excellent, excellent, excellent. The highest excellent. The highest excellence there is found in Jesus, and he's found in you. And when you read the word, when you read the gospels, you're reading about who you are now that you've been born again, because you see it in the life of Jesus and all he did for you. Okay. I'm not going to go there. Here's what I will say, though. Well, maybe you will. Have you ever had an argument going on here? Sorry, I'll bring my arguments home with me, but... Sometimes we have the advice, counsel, insight, and direction as how we should respond to life, and we see it through Jesus. Yeah. We see it through the Apostle Paul, too. We see it through Peter. You know, Peter made a lot of mistakes, and I said, thank you for sharing that. He's my favorite, too, of, you know, peeps like me. Because, you know what? It's hard to steer a parked car. And Peter was not a parked car. He just wanted to do it. If he saw Jesus walking, this is the kind of relationship he had with Jesus, that if Jesus could do it, then he could do it too. You know, and he saw him walking, and he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. Why? Because he knew it was him. He couldn't deny, no, it's not me. Peter left him no out. He said, if it's you, bid me come. He said, come. And he walked on the water. Physically impossible. Molecularly impossible. Atomically impossible. Anatomically impossible. But when God speaks, come. Remember the Roman centurion? I say this one, come, and he comes. When Jesus said, come, that's faith talking. And faith is a spiritual law that exceeds all physical laws. And it upheld him. He was walking, not on the water, he was walking on the word come. Because his faith, he trusted Jesus. I mean, if you saw him walking on the water, you'd trust him too. Nobody did that before, did they? We don't have any record in the Bible of anybody walking on water. The only thing we have floating on the water is a axe head that Elisha brought to the surface again. But we have advice, counsel, insight, and direction as to how we are to respond to masks. Gene therapy that they're calling a vaccine. Social distancing. You know, in Jesus' day, they had social distancing. They had leper colonies. Did he rail against them for it? No, he preached the gospel. But when a leper came to him, what did he do? He said, of course I will. Be healed. And then he healed 10 at one time. And what did he do? Rail out and say, now go back to your social distancing. No, he said, go show the priest and be declared clean. You've been declared clean by the Most High God. That the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of COVID. You know, the time for honoring themselves will soon be over. That's what the gladiator said to Commodus. He said, the time for honoring yourself will soon come to an end, Majesty. You can walk in your self-respect. You don't have to bow down and react and say, well, you know, masks don't work anyway. Da, 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 da. I've been guilty of that. How about you? They don't. I mean, really. I mean, we have scientific proof. See, if they really believe the masks work, why didn't they give them to the prisoners instead of letting thousands of them out? Hello. Even my lightning fast mind can figure that out. Jesus never veered from his game plan. He just kept going forward. The prostitutes, the harlots, the tax collectors, the rank sinners, they loved to be around him because they felt love from him. From the Pharisees and scribes, they felt rejection. They felt like garbage. But Jesus sat with them and ate with them. You know, and they loved to be with him. And he knew he wasn't going to change their whole life in one second and say, well, do this and do that. That's not what life is about. Doing this and doing that, or not doing this and not doing that. Amen. He knew he was the fulfillment of the law, and they couldn't follow it. Even the Pharisees, even the high priest couldn't follow the law. No man can follow that law. He was going to fulfill it. But he wanted to know that if they ever wanted anything better than what they had, if they ever longed for something that they thirsted for and never was able to drink of, that they could come to him. They felt love and acceptance with God that they had never felt before. Amen. They found it in Jesus. You cannot counterfeit that kind of love. Amen. He's something else. He is something else. He's more than a man. More than a carpenter. How's that? God's ways are excellent and beyond reproach. You know, looking ahead to the times that we're in now, Jesus said this in Luke 21, verse 15. He said, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Gainsay means to refute or deny. They will not be able to deny it. Nowadays, we've got something that is so cloaked over and crusted over with... You know, I mean, where do you even begin? They don't even know what sex they are. And, to the point where you can't even say that Kamala Harris was the first African-American. She's not African-American, number one, but that she is the woman of color, the first vice president of the United States. Well, you know what? That's great. But she can't call herself a woman, according to her own deal. Come on, you know, come on, man. So what does this have to do with excellence in everything? And I'll get to it in a minute. Because he's given you a mouth and wisdom that cannot be gainsaid against, cannot be denied, cannot be refuted, It lives in you. 1 Peter 2:15 says, "For so is the will of God that with well-doing you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." What is well-doing? It's doing what God told you to do. Doing what, like Daniel, did what God told him to do. Like Nehemiah, who stuck to it. Nehemiah, in 52 days, rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. We've been talking about a wall for 4 years. It was held up for 2 years of litigations and things like that, just maniacal type of stuff. When Barack Obama himself said, "We have to build these walls. We can't just let anybody in our country." Barack Obama said that, but as soon as Trump said it, no, that's illegal. You can't do it. You see how hideous it's gotten? They've called evil good and good evil, and they're tripping over their own people, trying to prove a point. And when they get to the end of it, they'll realize that there is no point. And all the time, the wisdom of God was available to them. I'm just trying to apply this to where we're at in society right now. Don't get offended. If you get offended, Paul said, "Do you hate me now because I tell you the truth? Have I become your enemy in telling you the truth?" Look, we can all get together here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing." Turn on the news. They invent new arguments every day, and they do it the same thing every day. They got argument, and they never resolve. They never come to agreement. "But contrariwise, blessing, knowing that thereunto you are called, that you should inherit a blessing." When you render evil for evil or railing for railing, you are forfeiting a blessing that God has already preordained that you inherit. Getting quiet in here. Hear that thunderous amen? Think about it. It's one thing to hear it, but when you're in the store and they hand you a mask and say, "Here. Thank you, I have one." It's so tempting to throw an opinion and a cold shoulder at somebody who's under orders from their boss to do something, rather than just befriend them and say, "Hey, you know what? Understand. Thank you." You don't have to agree or disagree. You know who you are. You don't have to prove it. When you try to prove who you are, you forfeit the shield that God will be to you. Let him be your shield. Does that mean I should, you know, let the whole world beat me and da-da-da-da? Are they going to walk all over me? I'll get to that in a minute. We live in a fallen world. And we are, just because you're born again, you're still a man. You're still a woman. And those are the only two options.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, but we live in a fallen world, and honestly, we have to live with each other. Believers and unbelievers, sinners, saints, drunkards and thieves, and so forth. We have locks on our door. We can use, man's wisdom, but we also got a supernatural wisdom. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. I want to look at something. I believe this is where we are right now in human history. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came to him and said, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then have we these tares?'" Tares are weeds, and they kind of look like wheat, but they're not. They're empty. And he said to them, verse 28, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Well, should we go gather them all up?" He said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them." If God went to just judge all the wheat, all the tares of this world, all the children of the wicked one, it would do a lot more damage than it would good. Lest when you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Verse 30, let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Simple illustration of a farmer. A farmer who had an enemy who was probably envious of him, wanted to sabotage his harvest, did everything he could to sabotage it. And then later on, the disciples came to him and said, can you tell us what that meant? In fact, verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain this parable. Explain to us this parable of the tares and the field. Jesus said, he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus came and sowed good seed, the word of God, into the earth, right? The field is the world. The seeds, the good seeds, are the sons of the kingdom. That's you and me. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. That's them. And I'm not talking Democrats or Republicans here, both of them. Anybody without Jesus is among the tares. Remember, there's only two races, righteous and unrighteous. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So look at this. He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The word came. The field is the world. He sowed his good seed into the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. That's you and me. We have been born again by incorruptible seed, it says, 1 Peter 1:23. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. They may even look like Christians. They may even look like wheat. They may even talk like it. But their heart is far from me. Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. These are tares. These are people of the world. Say, well, I thought that that person who died of cancer was such a good person. No, you can't see inside their heart. This is what James said. He said, I can't see inside their heart, but I can see by what they do, what they believe, because the evidence of their faith is in their actions. So he said here, the enemy who sowed them is the dove. The harvest is the end. Now, if you go back to verse 30, when he said, let them both grow together until the harvest, and at that time, at the harvest, I will say to the reapers, who are the reapers? The angels. First, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. We are seeing that happen right now in this world. You have all of these bundles being gathered together. You have groups. You have homosexual groups. And there's a lot of groups within them. Identity stuff. There's atheistic socialist groups. Control and mandate everyone. Vaccines and masks. That's what they do. There are media groups, television, news, advertising magnates who are making millions pushing this vaccine. This is all about money, by the way. Big tech canceling out what they don't want to hear. One of the reasons they believe Joe Biden got elected was because when the Hunter Biden scandal came out, Twitter canceled the whole thing from the New York Post, who broke the story. It would have changed. And they did surveys afterwards where 12% of the people polled, I believe it was 12%, said they would have voted for Trump if they knew that. But it was canceled. They don't want you to know the truth. These are people that are hiding the truth from you. Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, censoring the truth and propagating lies that will soon be dealt with, by the way. That's coming. Because you can't hold back the truth from God's people. Normally, they can see through it because they have the wisdom of God on the inside of them. But still, there's a lot of confusion. And people want to know what to believe. And when it comes to questions of conscience and faith, believe me, God gets involved. Amen. Jesus said this in John chapter 8, verse 44. He said to the religious leaders, he says, you're of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own because he's a liar and the father of it. He is the father of lies. And look what's happening. CNN. Fox News. Even Newsmax. You got to be careful of your sources. Here's a real, this is more up to date than the actual news that's on TV. It's right here. And God will give you up-to-date measurement time. In fact, he'll show you things to come before they happen. Why? Because you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you who will show you things to come. Thank you, Jesus. So you see the groups? This is all angelic intervention where they're gathering all Islamic groups, mass murders. Get to that in a minute. But if you want TV, here, if you stumble on this website, and you hear this, I want you to know that if you are following your father, the devil, and his lies, you are speaking the language of the devil, and you will inherit. I've got a verse for you. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. It says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. I didn't write this. Jesus gave this to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. This comes from Jesus. And all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So I will give you this. You can continue to lie and enjoy the second death for eternity, or you can come to Jesus. Because if you're born once, you'll die twice. If you're born twice, you'll die once. There's more groups. Look at the groups in here in verse 8. Cowards, willfully fearful, afraid to go outside of their comfort zone. Oh, gosh. Oh, we've really gone down. Anyhow, those who default to a thought pattern rooted in fear. Cowardly. The unbelieving. Faithlessness, believing only what their senses tell. You know, unbelief is curable. There's only two kinds of unbelief. There's ignorance that's based on not knowing the Word of God. And then there's another one which is refusing or unwilling, unpersuaded to act on the Word of God. Let's put it that way. And both are curable. Because if you don't know the Word of God, when you hear the Word of God, it says faith comes. So you can get rid of You can get rid of ignorance easy by knowing the Word of God and hearing. You can't go on TV and flip through the channels too much without hearing somebody talk the Word of God. You're without excuse. So then the second kind of unbelief is cured by simply acting on the Word of God. Acting on the Word of God. Okay. And the primary action of the Word, James said this, faith without works is dead being alone, right? Yeah, right? It needs corresponding actions to it. And the primary act of faith is to say it. Say what? Say what the Word says. Amen. For what does it say? The Word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. There is no other prerequisite to salvation. There's no good works that can do it or anything. It's the blood of Jesus. Faith in that blood and confess him as your Lord. Yes. Period. So it's curable. Unbelief is totally curable. Amen? Then it says the abominable. Can we have that scripture up, John? The abominable. These are people who don't give a rip about anything. These are reprobates. Murderers. This applies to radical Islam committing mass murders, Nazi genocide, Stalin's genocide, And especially the greatest genocide ever perpetrated on humanity is abortion. 65 million that we know about, probably much more than that, have been murdered. And you know what? Let me say this. The left is primarily pushing for abortion, abortion, abortion. Why? Because they care about women's reproductive rights? No. Do they care about women's rights to choose? No. If they cared about that, then they wouldn't have rigged the election. They don't care about any of that. But when you look at how it hits them in the wallet, that's what they care about. Because if not enough that they're murdering these babies, but then they mutilate the corpses of these to get body parts to sell them. And the vaccines that they're pushing are made, except for one they claim, are made with those stem cells coming from the aborted, murdered babies. And it's created a huge, is big money. That's what they care about. They don't care about women's rights. It's guised under that. It's big money. Sexual immorality, prostitutes. Those who hire them, just as guilty. You know, when Jesus, they said the woman in adultery, they dragged. How did they know that this woman was in the act of adultery? You got to think of these things. I mean, I thought of that and say, wait a second. You know, I could put two and two together. Yeah. Come on. One word from Jesus, one sentence, and they dropped their rocks. The wisdom of God in him came out and silenced them. They were just as guilty as the woman who committed adultery in the eyes of God. This includes pornography, sexual immorality. It includes pornography. Not only the propagators of pornography, but the ones who participate in it. All guilt. Think of the judgments that are coming. I mean, the purporters of, like, Hugh Hefner, Larry Flint, and all these people who purported this pornography, perverting it, destroying families with it, destroying men's perception of what sex really is, destroying what women think. It's a total perversion. Family values, families torn apart and everything, but and it's still piling up and piling up on their doorstep for final judgment. People say, well, what if they're Christians? They can't be judged. Oh, yeah, what? When Paul gave communion to the church, he said, if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. That's New Testament, isn't it? As far as I know. Look, we this is grace and faith. Your faith won't work if you're in sin. Your faith won't work. Your grace won't be, you cannot appropriate it by faith if you're in sin. But if you're in sin, I got good news for you. The blood was shed. Go to the blood, put your faith in that blood and believe it. And you know what? Your entire past will be. You know why? Because if you put your faith in that blood and you received your forgiveness, if God did not forgive you, he'd be an unjust God. Yes. Sorcerers, you know what this word is? Listen to this. This is a Greek word, pharmakon. It's where we get pharmacy from. Yep. It refers to a spellbinding potion. Now, I'm not saying all pharmacies are bad and stuff like that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is when they're telling you it'll do stuff for you that it won't do, and there are many adverse effects. Do you know, there? As far as we know, there's no really adverse effects to hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, except they have an adverse effect on COVID-19. That's why they don't want you to have it, because they want you to buy the vaccine. Idolaters. Anything in your life that you give more priority to than God is an idol. This can be your job. This can be your car. This can be your boat. This can be whatever. Idolatry. Look, idolaters. and all liars. All liars. So what do we do with this? What do we do with all this? Well, there's a wonderful gift in the Bible called repentance. It is probably the best gift in the whole Bible. Amen. Repentance. In fact, it is the first principle of the doctrine of Christ listed in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews 6, 1 says that having gone, let's go on to perfection, laying not again the foundation of repentance from dead works. All these things are dead works. They come under dead works. Cowardly, unbelieving, abominable things, murdering, sexual immorality. These are dead works. Sorcery, idolaters, and all liars. Look at this. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let's go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works. Faith towards God. Next one. The doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Those are the six doctrines of Christ. That's it. And they lay the foundation for all of the liberties that we have as children of God, the liberties of the Spirit. And when you repent from dead works, when you're baptized into the body of Christ. Now, that's a different baptism. See, it's doctrine of baptisms. There's many baptisms in the Bible. There's baptism in water. There's baptism in the Spirit. There's baptism into the body of Christ. There's baptisms in fire. And by the way, baptism in fire is not trials and tribulations and hardships. That's what the devil wants you to believe. But the thing is, baptism in fire is when you get the Holy Ghost on you and you start, your words start burning up the sin and burning up the failures and burning up and renewing minds and so forth, and you become a fire. He makes his ministers a flame of fire. Amen. And then grace and faith comes. Fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. You don't have to react to this world. You just be the light of the world. That's excellence. You don't have to react to masks or whatever. You can say no. That's what Nancy Reagan said. Mm-hmm. Just say no. Thank you? No. Well, then you can't work here. I don't think I'd want to work here. Well, then you can't come in the store. Okay, I'll order from Amazon. Thank you. Now you're interrupting. Say, you know what? I understand, brother, you have to do that, but hey, I'd just go order from Amazon. Then, see, once you start getting into their wallet, then they start waking up. That's what wisdom will tell you. Wisdom. This will give you wisdom in your families, with your kids. You know, you can tell when your kids are growing up when they stop asking you where they came from and when they start not telling you where they're going. Jesus said, "Gather the wheat into my barn." We're heading into the rapture of the church. And the rapture of the church, we believe here, and we teach this, and I have about a two-hour teaching on why the rapture of the church comes before the tribulation. And that's when it will happen, and you need to get on board. If any of those things are in your life that we talked about from Revelation 21:8, get them out of your life. You don't need them. All they are is drag. They're putting drag on your life. They're ripping you off from the blessing that you are meant to inherit. They're ripping you off from the productivity spiritually and the rewards. When you get to heaven, look, I didn't think I'd ever get this old. When I was a young hippie playing in rock bands, yeah, I say, well, who wants to get that old? Oh, what's the option? What's the alternative? Then when I got born again, I found out that, wow, I'm going to live eternally forever. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They follow my voice and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life. And nobody can take that from you. Amen. So you don't need all those other things. You've got the Zoe life of God on the inside of you. It's his very own life. It's the substance of what makes God, God. That lives in you. You are a partaker of the divine nature, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. This is all the word of God. This is who you are. That 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 is who you are. Echo, 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 echo. Speak the truth and speak it in love, and you'll see the most excellent wisdom available to you than you've ever imagined. Like that. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are so gracious to each one of us. Thank you that the favor of heaven rests upon each person, and that you have given us eternal life, that you've washed away our sins, that you have made us one with you through the blood of Jesus. We thank you that we can stand with assurance and confidence, knowing that you are in us both to will and to do of your own good pleasure, knowing that you have recreated us and separated us from anything that is between you and me. Thank you, Lord, for the insight and the instruction of the Holy Spirit. It will not fall on deaf ears, but we will purpose to be doers of the word and not hearers only, walking in deception. We thank you, Lord, that the light of truth, the pure light of truth, lives and walks in us, and that we have a living God, a living Father, a wonderful brother, and the nurturing mother nature of the Holy Spirit, guiding us, leading us, showing us things to come, and taking the things of Jesus and showing them to us so that we can do likewise. In Jesus' name. If you've never been born again, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Pray the simple prayer with me. Say this. In fact, everybody say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I believe that Jesus Christ,
I believe that Jesus Christ
died for me.
And as he died for me,
he shed his blood,
forgiving me of all my sin.
I believe that you raised him from the dead. And my faith is in him. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord from this moment forward. And I will live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to come up. I have something for you here. And the rest of you, you are dismissed. There's refreshments, good stuff in the cafe that Lynn brought the other day, and good cake, and there's coffee and everything. So you can, after you have soul food, you can have natural food in the back. Amen. You are dismissed. I love you very much, and you have a wonderful day. See you next. We'll see you Friday night. Friday. If you need prayer for anything else, come on up, and we'll pray for you.